You're listening to UnConcast on the Georgia Podcast Network, featuring unconference sessions and other related discussions from around the Southeast.
In the interest of time, I guess we're going to get started in a minute or so. This layout is horrible.
Yes.
So don't let the layout reflect the conversation, because like I'm hoping that this is a dialogue and that we're really going to talk amongst each other. Give the turn seats inward to talk to people. Please do it. Another rule of engagement. I was at home watching the first part of this, and I think Twitter is wonderful. I spoke at Blogworld in Vegas recently, and I think it's great to have dialogue. But if I have like a booger in my nose or something, please tell me versus Twittering that. That's all I ask. You know what I mean? For real. Like, that's the whole nature of this thing. Let's have a real dialogue. So please, by all means, if there's something I'm not saying it fast enough, I'm speaking too fast, I'm speaking too slow, or I'm not saying, tell me, and then, you know, let's talk about it versus necessarily like, Twittering.
Can we just verify this session?
Oh, yes, we'll verify. I believe that the title of this session is Social Media and PR. And to verify, my name is James Andrews.
Okay.
I guess we'll wait till everybody's in. Everybody's checked in. Again, just so we set the tones, I've been watching the earlier sessions. I am not a keynote speaker. I'm a facilitator of a conversation amongst us all. So I just happen to be guiding a conversation, and I'm going to dip in and add some things and show you some things. And I have some thought starters. I'm familiar with this format, so I've sort of created a loose structure, but I know this is an unconference, so I want to, you know, unformalize it a little bit. In fact, I want to take off my jacket because it's an unconference. So I'm going to just walk into a few slides and talk to you about a bit about my background. So my name is James Andrews. I'm Vice President at Ketchup Digital. I know a fair amount of you in the room work with some of these clients locally. I know some of you have recently seen an article about me, and we'll get into that. There's an article yesterday talking about Twitter and something that happened recently, and just in full disclosure, I apologize to our client. We moved on. We worked together on a bunch of things, but I want to talk about what I learned during that process and some key learnings I think are going to be vital for you, and I hope you can share from that experience. Some of you I know from Atlanta. My kids are at Paideia. I'm a member of the Young Executive Board of True Colors Theater. I'm a resident here. I love Atlanta. It's a wonderful place to me. I moved here from New York about 5 years ago. Some of you I know from recently. I launched JadenFonda.com on Monday. I'm the person who's her influencer. So we launched on Monday. We actually had a New York Times piece on Tuesday. And so if you read about Jane Fonda and her efforts into blogging, I'm her her blog journeyman, I guess, or her BFF in blogging. I don't know. But it's been great. Go check it out, JaneFonda.com. She's also on Twitter. So Twitter.com/JaneFonda. So I'm teaching her how to use Twitter, what voice to use, and we'll get into that. Some of the things I want to talk about today is what voice are you using? How are you talking in Twitter? How are you talking in the tools that you're using? So some of you I know from the Bay Area. I'm Bay Area born. I grew up in Palo Alto. So this whole Silicon Valley kind of Atlanta thing is interesting because I'm actually from Palo Alto. Went to high school crushing Stanford and grew up in the center of Silicon Valley and was at Stanford watching the internet grow. And as kids, we used to program in BASIC, and that's how we sort of had fun playing games. So I'm from Palo Alto. I know there's Peter Fasano here, and Amani Channels from East Palo Alto. So a lot of Bay Area love in the room, feeling it, all right? And then the other thing is some of you I know from my work with Hill Harper. Hill Harper's an actor on CSI. He's a friend of mine. We created a website called ForRealSolutions.com. It's for communities. It's for organizations. We're really trying to figure out what it's for. We launched it at the Democratic National Convention. He using his celebrity, me using my friends, and us trying to build a Ning platform. For some of you who don't know what the Ning platform is, it's a community built on communities. I'll talk a little more about that, and can answer any questions about Ning and my experience with Ning. But we built a ForRealSolutions.com thing. We also, during the campaign, so in full disclosure, Hill Harper is a classmate of Obama. He went to Brown and went to Harvard with law school with Obama. And during the campaign, we launched JoesForObama.com. It was really fun. I was walking through Lenox. He calls me like, I'm on the campaign trail. This whole Joe thing is going to be big this week. So I was like, okay, I talked to my son. My son's in the mall. We locked down JoesForObama.com, and we created basically an opportunity for people to send in their Joe. Regular Joes, regular Josephinas could send in videos and say, I'm for Obama. It was fun. It led me into some interesting conversations with the transition team, the Obama transition team. And so I've been working with Hill and I. We just did a chat last week using Ustream. Oh, which I meant to stream this whole thing. Whoops. Yes?
If you don't mind, because you're very, really fast. Is it possible to write down some of these?
Absolutely.
You know?
please. So, janefonda.com. Twitter.com/janefonda.
I think you had asked me, you have a whiteboard behind you?
I do. Oh, okay, cool. It's hard for me to talk in whiteboard. You want to be my whiteboard friend? You can? Thank you. Thank you.
It's
fine. Well, I'll go slow. How about that? Because I do get excited about this whole social media thing, so I talk fast. Palo Alto High School. Hill Harper, Brown University, Harvard Law. ForRealSolutions.com. Joe's for Obama. And then I'm not a very good blogger at Fast Company, but I'm part of the expert blogging crew at Fast Company. I don't have time, honestly, to blog as often as I'd like to, but I am part of the Fast Company blogging thing. And some of you I know from my blogging wife and my family of bloggers. This is my wife. She has a blog, funkydivagirl.com. And my son's even a foodie blogger at 13. He's actually now reviewing Atlanta restaurants. So if you're any of your restaurant people, we just did Flip, the Kevin Blaze burger thing over there on Howe Mill, and he has a nice review on funkydivagirl.com. So that's my family, and except for the 7-year-old who can talk Twitter. She talks in Twitter, Google. Daddy, Twitter, Google. We're a blogging family. And there is an element of that I want to use my network for, to show a family that's blogging together. So anyway, that's kind of my career. And once I just give you kind of how I started. I started off, like I said, in Palo Alto. My first job, actually, I went to UCLA, and my first job was working for Dionne Warwick. Her son, David, is my best friend. And so I grew up in Silicon Valley. I went to UCLA. I liked the whole LA thing, right? So I worked in the music business. Worked at Columbia Records, Sony Music. I built rock stars. So I was an artist development marketing person. I worked on Fugees, Nas, Maxwell, Kenny Lattimore, Destiny's Child, Men in Black. I became a senior executive there. And then I went to Echo Unlimited. It's a fashion brand. I was head of marketing at Echo. Then I built this thing in New York. This is all sort of LA, New York. And then I was in New York, and I built this thing called SoulPurpose.com, which was a behind-the-scenes newsletter, which you would call a blog today, that talked about the business of advertising, entertainment, sports, and I kind of brought it all together. I had a fictitious character that no one knew was me. His name was Andy Platinum. And so Andy would talk about stories, and you read a story about Will Smith, and because I know Will Smith's whole crew, I kind of give you the whole backstory, but it's all Andy. And it was an Andy Platinum thing, and no one knew Andy was me, and it was really fun. This was like 98, 97, I'm dating myself.
Fake anyway, Steve Jobs.
Huh?
Fake Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that's it, fake Steve Jobs. And so I was written up in the Wall Street Journal, and we went on to raise $40 million. I was a 21st employee, and I sold it to Urban Box Office, which was a dot-com. First investor was Nicholas Negroponte, MIT New Media Lab. And we were an urban MTV, I guess, if you will. We had the rights to Venus and Serena Williams, Muhammad Ali, and my little blogish, side-ish thing. And then we went on to raise $40 million. We had 320 employees. And we were one of those New York Silicon Alley stories that went high and crashed hard. Amazing experience. George Jackson, one of the founders of our company, who was a Harvard guy, was from Harlem, made a lot of money in Hollywood, and kind of became a figure, died in the middle of us building this. So it's very traumatic for me in building this. It was an amazing thing. UBO is kind of like this moment in time and culture in New York. There's a lot of people I still bump into. And then I moved to Atlanta, moved my family to Atlanta, worked for a few agencies, worked on Sprite business with an agency called Isobar based in London. So I had an office in London. I was going back and forth to the Coke building. And then I joined Ketchum, which is where I'm at today. So all of my experiences, good, bad, ugly, horrible, happy, sad, I hope to bring you today to facilitate a conversation. Again, this is for some of you that joined us late. This is a dialogue amongst us. I'm merely a facilitator. I just want to talk. So I'm going to give you some thought starters and sort of set the table for discussion. So the shift is here now. Ooh, before I even get to this, though, I would be rude if I didn't do this. And can we do this quickly, if you don't mind? Just really quickly, name what your company is and what you want to get out of this really quickly, though. Starting with you.
Peter Fasano, P. Fasano on most things. I would like to get out of this a dialogue about measurement and social media and communication, public relations. Where's its place around measurement?
Okay, Peter Fasano and measurement. What's your company?
MassLogic. I'm a consultant, digital marketing.
Okay, cool.
So
homework, Tish Garten. Mm-hmm. I work for Engage Digital.
Okay.
I wanted to just really learn more about how you're using, I guess, these social media for PR. Just kind of new to this part.
Okay, cool.
Chad Israel, director of social media at Engage. And
cool.
Honestly, I thought you had the coolest bio, so that's what I'm
here.
Barbara Preble, Moonstone Media.
Okay.
I'm interested in the PR.
PR, okay.
Aggie Duncan, personal productivity expert, new ideas.
New ideas, okay.
Josh Allen, personal communications, competitive intelligence.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm Patrick Ford with Ketchum. I work with James, and I'm just here to try to figure out what the heck he's talking about.
George Cheney, former news reporter, AJC, Kerrig, MBA candidate, Georgia Tech, and I just need to learn something else.
Okay, cool.
Jeffrey Epps, LLC, Media Marketing Consulting, and always just trying to stay abreast of what's going on in the marketplace.
Okay, cool.
Dan Smith, Brad, CEO and Chief Creative Officer of Great, an Atlanta-based promotion agency.
Okay.
We create buzz for television and entertainment clients and looking for new ideas.
Okay.
Terry Thornton for Communications, I do media relations and social media consulting for several businesses in town, so just here to listen and learn.
Okay, Terry Thornton, okay.
Ricky Steele, sales and marketing consultant, and one of my clients is Ketchum.
Like that guy. Okay.
Alan Yerkes, Thumbing River Capital Partners, angel investor, what we do is good. I'm here because what I want to do is I want to learn more about social media and PR.
Okay, great.
Mike
Squire,
Software Incorporated, Atlanta. I
want
to learn about using this channel for my clients.
Okay.
Joe Thomas, Southwest Communications, and I'm a professor here in the Department of Communications, so teaching news reporting and writing, and I'm just curious.
Okay.
Everything.
Great.
I'm Andrew Groom, I'm a public relations student here at Kennesaw, and I'm here to learn.
Great, okay.
Margaret Jones, Margaret M. Jones, public relations, here to learn how to use social media for my small business clients.
Great.
Daisy Blissett, entrepreneur, have an advertising and marketing company where I learn how to position it in social media.
Okay, great.
Or I've been on the content developer interested in social media.
Okay.
Sheila Poole, I'm a digital activity, interactivity at a federal agency.
Very cool.
For 30 years.
Okay.
You know,
Dominic Tricks. Okay.
Yolanda Rodriguez, I'm a former reporter for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. I'm a freelance writer now.
I'm
here to listen and learn.
Okay. Any guys on Twitter, say your Twitter handle.
It's Finding Cross, director of marketing. I'm just learning how social media is going to change PR.
Okay, great.
Allison O. Allison O is my Twitter name, public relations consultant, former Ketchmites. And here to learn more about how to get my clients more online presence.
Very cool.
Darren Wong, I'm executive director of the Cato Book Festival, and I'm looking for ideas of how to move that community and revolution.
Cool.
Steve Burns, bsteve76 on Twitter, journalist, freelance. Most of my background is in newspapers, but I've long been newsletters, but I've long been interested in public relations and learn all I can.
Okay.
I'm Ron Breaker, strategic thinker, writer, creative developer, freelance person, and I'm here to learn new stuff.
Okay.
My name is Charles Kroeg. My wife and I have a company called Authentic Beauty, and we're part of True Color when Swimming Upstream came there. And it's great. So we're here to help my wife create a really powerful online voice so that she can help affect change in the beauty industry.
Great.
Mallory Perkins. My Twitter is Mallory8. I am an account manager for Content Hub with Sherry Heil.
Okay, cool.
My name is Tamara Simpson, a company called One Wars and PR for small businesses, and I'm here to learn more about social media and
things. Okay, cool.
My name is Greg Bond, at Greg Bond. I participate in social media a bunch. I work for a traditional media company and trying to bring them up to speed, and I'm here because I like to challenge a lot of the social media's key tenets.
Okay.
I could say I like to play devil's advocate.
Sweet. The devil's in the room. I'm your friend on Twitter, by the way.
I'm Rebecca Lovell with Renown Promotions. My Twitter is Renown.
Okay.
And I'd just like to learn more about social media for my PR small business.
Okay.
My name is Emily Smiley, recently unemployed PR grad from UVA with a blog about shopping. I'll intern for anybody. I'm trying to get back into PR because I haven't done it for the past 3 years, and I'm just continuing my education.
Okay.
State Builder Legacy Education Resources. We have resources for high schools teaching character education, and a book coming out at the end of the month. And I just want to say I can use social media best to get word out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Renee Greenfield. My Twitter is Renee. It's my company's Renee Source Media. I'm a friend of James, but I don't know how to use Twitter well.
Stephanie Roberts. I'm a photographer and a digital media storyteller, and you seem really cool.
We're in the Bose Group Business Growth Advisement, and I'm just I'm here for my clients.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Barb Chiamacco with Talent Builders, Barbara Chiamacco on Twitter. And I'm here to learn more about how to get PR for my own business and my clients using social media.
I'm
Drew Clinton. I'm with Communications 21. We're an agency here in Atlanta, and I'm learning about how to integrate social media with our clients.
Brent Leary, Twitter name, Brent Leary. The company is CRM Essentials. And I'm just here to listen and learn from the guy.
Jeff Bradford, Twitter name is Jay Graff. I'm here basically just to learn more and get up to some nice stuff. Big fan.
Likewise.
I'm Mark Grace, founder of VisualTalking.com. Basically, say it with pictures. It's like text messaging, but you use images instead of words. I'm here because I wanted to see how you can do PR and media relations without having millions of users. Without having millions of users on your site. So you're just starting out as a media to pay attention.
Did you why did we skip you? I'm just curious. I need to know everybody in the room. Who are you?
I'm Michelle Hyde.
I'm Bernie Schneider. I'm here on the recommendation of my friend Diaz.
Hi, I'm Robert Joseph. I'm the president of a company called GluLife, GluLife, and that's my Twitter name. And I build dynamic websites.
Well, good. Thank you. Now I know who everybody is. Now everybody knows who everybody else is.
One last one. Quantz Hall, Atlanta City Council, District 2. I need all of you. I'm on Twitter.
Welcome, Quantz Hall.
Definitely need me.
Great. So, thank you for joining. Now everybody knows who everybody is. Please, you guys should exchange. You know, there's a lot of connections in here. I'm at Key Influencer on Twitter if I don't follow some of you already or you don't follow me. And so, hopefully, you know, all the aspects of, you know, my career and everything that I do on a daily basis, because my world kind of outside of Ketchum is sort of the JaneFonda.com stuff I do, the Hill Harper stuff I do, and that actually makes me a better and smarter practitioner, because Ketchum allows me to kind of play with toys outside. So, interesting, last year I used to do this, sounds like so far away, but in November I used to give this presentation called The Shift Is Coming. Or something about the shift. What's amazing is, you know, the shift is here now. So I used to talk about, you know, the fragmentation of media and, you know, news and all these different places. And I have this whole theory. And really, you know, it's here. So it's not a matter of, like, are you engaging or is your client engaging? It's how are you engaging? And the second point is, what's your social media voice? You know, what's your, you know, how do you use your voice? How do you use your Twitter voice? How do you use your Facebook voice? How do you use YouTube, you know, how do you use Ustream if you're not using, for some of you who are doing live streaming, how are you using Ustream? And then what's next? And so really I'd like for us to talk about some of these ways. Again, I've added some nuggets here, some things that we do for the competitive intelligence people in the room. You'll love where I'm going with this. But it's, you know, I'm going to give you some things that I do on a daily basis, some things that we've invented over there on 15th and Peachtree. So I start with what's next, right? And so there's this, you know, theory, or it's not a theory, this guy wrote a book and it's about Hatless Jack. And when Jack Kennedy John F. Kennedy took office, he was the first president not to wear a fedora, and they say that many men in America stopped wearing fedoras because of John F. Kennedy's bold statement that day, and Inauguration Day. And so, in much the same way, Mr. Barack Obama, who's our president, now President Barack Obama, Hill Harper checked me the other night, he saw me when Hill Harper did not call this man Barack. So, President Obama really has changed and ushered in a White House 2.0, and I believe that'll change, you know, how businesses operate. We've gotten recently clients coming to us saying, I want the Obama plan. Literally. I mean, I'm not going to say who it is, but there's a client that came to us recently and was like, I want the Obama thing. I want everything that Obama did, I want you to do for me. So it's interesting how Obama's White House 2.0 and the transparent office is changing culture. But I thought this was interesting. In January 2008, Obama records a video response to President Bush's State of the Union. It really didn't get picked up by mainstream media, but today it's actually one of the most popular YouTube videos out there. It's Google's most blogged, and today it's been viewed 1.5 million times and probably more than that. I think I did this slide about a month ago. So we're talking about a generation, as Danny Shea says from Huffington Post, about a generation that doesn't just like seeing a video with a story, to your point about video, they expect it. And they polled a bunch of college students, and out of that came this quote, that if the news is that important, it will find me. And that's kind of how I kind of build my platforms when we're talking about PR. Again, you saw my background, I've had a mixed bag of nuts. I worked in the music business, I made rock stars, I did all these different things. So my background is not traditional PR, but as a marketer in a PR company who's all about earned media relationships, I really take this approach from social media of, you know, life isn't just about what's on your website. Like, you need to live everywhere. So I think I have this video here, I meant to. There's a video of, I don't know if you're familiar with Seismic and Loic Lemure. There's a guy named Loic Lemure who's a blogger, and he has a site called Seismic.com. But he actually posted a video that I thought kind of sets the table for where I want us to dialogue with each other. It's about this decentralized digital life.
If the news is that important, it will find me. This is a sentence from a college student reported by Brian Stelter of the New York Times, which changes completely the way you consume news. You used to go to the New York Times or to our news sources to get, you know, like a digested summary. Now it's all over the place. If you think about the beginning of blogging, you used to be very focused on your own blog. That's where I would get the news, would get feedback, would get comments. It's completely gone. This is entirely decentralized. And this is a post I wrote, and I quickly drafted what I call my social map. It's basically what I believe are the most important services right now and the one I consume. I had no idea it would be such an important conversation over the weekend. It was first picked up by Michael Arrington at TechCrunch, and then it went on top of TechMeme with, I think, more than 70 blogs linked to that story. Some of the people actually even started drawing their own social maps like I did, and just in daily, started gathering them on one site. What is your social map? Where is your attention going on when you go online? You've not been at your computer for a few hours. What is it that you start with? I personally start by the obvious one and the most boring one, email. I then try to get an aggregated view of my different social software. So I start by a page I've set up on NetVibes, which gives me a summary of my email, the blogs that matter for me, gives me a summary of TechMeme, Technorati, Google Blog Search, things that matter to me, of course, like Seismic. Then I check my replies generally on Twitter, which is, you know, all day long, I communicate on this. I check the videos I may have as a reply in my conversations or in my inbox at Seismic. I go and check my Facebook inbox. Right now it has like 900 emails in there. When I meet somebody like this morning, I generally check him up in LinkedIn, because then I have a pretty good updated bio, I know who knows him, and I can have some context around him. Social software generally turns into physical events, and I always check before going to a party or to an event how many of my friends are going, using upcoming or using Doppler that tells you where your friends are going. And it may turn into a, of course, yeah, like a big event, like the web in Paris, December 9 and 10. Coming to me are images as well, coming from Flickr, obviously, and from all my friends, which is news in a way. My friends share links using Delicious all the time, and these are very interesting. Just a link, just a quick URL, whether it is on Delicious, on Twitter, can be very, very important. And I check those. I'm very bad at knowing music generally, so I like to learn through my friends at services like Last.fm, which shows you how powerful social software is. It doesn't touch just, you know, your information, but also music, anything. Of course, there are many more services than this, like video. I use YouTube all the time, and many others. I can't quote them all, but have a look at the map or your own map. What's more important than checking is then sharing as well a little bit. You just don't consume information from your friends, you actually share to your friends. So what I use is TypePad, which is my blog host since the beginning, since I was, you know, head of Six About Europe. Mobile Type is great, WordPress is very popular. So sharing information like I do on this show, like the TV, you know, I publish it on YouTube, on Sysmic, on my blog, on Facebook, you share it, right? I made Delicious it. So you see the problem. Both with consuming information, the good news is if you are in all those services, it finds you. And actually, I noticed that I go less and less to the mainstream news. I go if a friend points me to the news. So it changed totally from 5 years ago, where everything was kind of centralized in your mail, mainstream media, and your blog. Now it's all over the place. And I honestly, I like it.
Okay, so that, just so you know, that video for you agency people, you can get that on YouTube. That's like my scared straight, like, faces of death video. Usually, the looks I get on my client's face, like, what the heck just happened? Like, what is he talking about? Oh my God. So I use that video to set up a conversation. Really, it's about a conversation about conversations are happening everywhere. And those of you in this room understand that because you're here. But really, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about maybe some of the challenges that you're having justifying things like microblogging, justifying things like using video, or some of the challenges that I have with my clients of why should I do this, why should I do this? And, you know, back to my original platform, yes, a change is happening, Mr. Client. Yes, we need to help define your voice. And that's when you talk about what's next. But I'd love to hear from some of you, like, what are you hearing? What's the pushback from some of your clients on using some of these tools? Because my assumption is everybody in this room, that wasn't sort of a new thing for anybody in this room. But what are you hearing? And what are some of the things that we can learn from some of you on how to get over the hump of justifying Twitter or justifying using Facebook?
I could start with the question. This is where do you start if you want to create a consistent presence, and what are the tools that you use and how do you use them? So I use Twitter, but I don't really understand how or why it's used effectively. So what's an example of using that effectively as opposed to blogging effectively as opposed to Facebooking effectively?
I think, you know, and I want to be the only person to answer this, so I'm hoping some of these other really smart people in the room can answer this as well. For me, I'll just say that it's about defining the voice that I use in Twitter, knowing what I'm going to say on Twitter, knowing what I'm going to say in Facebook, who I'm talking to, and, you know, it comes with great responsibility and great accountability, but knowing who you're talking to, who reads my Facebook, who are my Facebook friends, you know, one thing is just for me, you'll never know when I'm out of town. This is just a privacy thing. Like, I never say, I'm here. You know, you're not going to really know. So I'm very guarded about necessarily where I'm at. And then I think, you know, I have a newfound relationship with a new group of followers. So now I'm like, okay, well, if you're going to follow me, then you're going to follow all the facets of my life. And I choose to use it that way. Now, that may not be the same way that your client chooses to use it. Your client, for instance, we use Twitter for certain clients at trade shows. You know, or we have a particular client that's doing a lot of trade shows, so we aggregate trade show friends. We have the whole trade show friend thing. So for that particular client, it's a trade show voice. For other clients, I mean, I think you get the most out of it when you're engaging and when you say, you know, at Steve Bond, right? Is that your name?
Greg Bond.
At Greg Bond and I are having a dialogue. I mean, I get more out of it because we're in a two-way dialogue. But you have to define what works for your client and what works. I'd love to hear somebody else's answer to that, though. Right there in the back.
One of the ways that we use Twitter is that we have one of the things another company that I'm working with does is teaches kids how to build websites and teaches kids skills for the 21st century. And so we use Tweet Later in order to search for keywords. We search for keywords like technology and kids.
or education at kids. And then it'll bring up all the tweets that happen within a certain time period that have those key words in it. And then that allows me to look and see who those people are and to see what they're doing in terms of education. And a lot of times I've found people that are doing really cutting edge technology and education programs. And so then that gives me an end to get a dialogue with them. And so start with just following them and seeing some of the things that they're talking about and seeing some of the places they're going or seeing some of the things that they're doing. And then that gives me an entree into continuing additional conversations. So it's not just a, at least the way that we use Twitter, it's not just a tool where we start to follow friends and then we rely on them following us and then we watch what's going on. We do some of that, but we also, and we get engaged in that, and as we watch them, we reply to things that we want to reply to start to build relationships. But we also actively go after people that are in the space that we want to.
Great point. I found that that right there is sort of the hump I get when I'm trying to talk to clients about the justification of why Twitter. It's definitely the listening aspect, the ability to hear all these conversations that are happening and to use Twitterlater or TweetDeck or any of the tools that are out there, to, you know, or simple as search.twitter.com. In the back, she had her hand.
I'm not in the PR agency, but I'm working on it. Remember the Cowpasture? I'm out there, he's much older than I am, and his 20-year-old intern and his 25-year-old assistant, when I said, did you guys put this out in the blogosphere, like, you know.
Right.
So I went on my favorites, who were marketing and PR guys, and said, this small company in Abbeville, Alabama has no idea there's a recession. Go check this out. And it worked. And they went. The only bad thing now is if you put recession, that company, and my name, you put that name and recession, my name comes up on these blogosphere because I sent it to them. But it worked for PR because the whole idea was to engage people, go to the site, join in this contest, win cool, expensive stuff. You know? But the kids, the 20-year-old, wasn't doing it. So,
any other uses of Twitter examples? You have one, right, Paul?
Well, I was going to say, I think when people talk about social media, there's a lot of ambiguity to that because each different website you use defines its own terms of communication. So I guess you were able to say email in the past, and that was a pretty specific thing. But now that we have this term social media, I think it confuses people with Twitter and Facebook. So basically, you engage in each medium, and the medium ends up helping to define how you use it. So people have bent email to a million different ways of using it, whether it's project management, doing events, communication, everything. But with Twitter now, I guess that defines snappy comments. So it's all about now, it's all about listening in, and it's all about immediate feedback. So I would say that would be the biggest strength of Twitter, and then each thing kind of has its own way. Facebook, I would say, is a more personal connection. You can follow somebody on Twitter and that's a lot less personal, it doesn't really do much. But with Facebook, that becomes much more of an interaction. So I would say each thing you get into is its own process, but you can't just put it all under one cloud and say, you know, let's do social media.
By show of hands, who understands what the hash mark sort of conversation thing is?
Hashtag.
That's what it's called. Okay, so I was at home getting ready to come here. I was following everything. I've been following the whole thing this whole morning through the hashtag conversation. And, you know, I would say that, you know, there's an opportunity for PR practitioners, for marketing practitioners to think about that hashtag, hash mark, right, as an opportunity to build, you know, groups of conversations. You know, I said once to a client, like, if you come hashtag, like, you've really made it. Like, you know, that's like, I should almost do a shirt, like, you know, hashtag. But, like, I think there's an opportunity. I was at Blog World. Here's another usage of Twitter. Are you familiar with Zappos? Everybody here sort of know the Zappos story? Well, I remember being at Blog World and speaking at a panel at 2 o'clock and then leaving at 10 o'clock. And, I was trying to get home, but I wanted to watch a football game. So I told the taxi guy, just drop me off at any hotel. So he drops me off at Planet Hollywood. I'm there. And all of a sudden, I'm following all the conversations. And all of a sudden, I start seeing people go, I'll be at Planet Hollywood in 10 minutes. I'll be there in 5 minutes. I'll be there in 20 minutes. It's like, what is going on? And I go upstairs, and I sort of find the genesis of this conversation online. And Tony from Zappos said, you know, meet me in an hour. I'll be at Planet Hollywood. We're going to do it. And I was like, okay. So I go, and there's like 30 employees from Zappos upstairs, and, you know, DJ and mingling. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. All of a sudden, 30 went to 350 in like 45 minutes. It was a full-on tweet-up party. And for me, as a former entertainment person, I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. It was like a rave. It was like an old-school, like, go to La Brea and Sunset, pick up a clue, and then go. I was like, this is crazy. This is a rave online. But, I mean, that's just one way that Tony at Zappos, and I'm sure all of you follow the story, he's building his own network. He's going to cities like Palo Alto and Seattle. He's creating tweet-ups. And I think for him as a CEO and thought leadership, is a big platform for him. He's able to build his own network and create communities through Twitter. So, to your point, I mean, there's just so many different ways, so many different protocols. Back there.
I just wanted to, one of the things I'm seeing also is that there's this old school versus new school going on. Like you said, you're in an entertainment thing, and you got it specifically, it's the jazz musician versus anybody.
Yeah.
That's what's going on with social media. And, yeah. It's sometimes hard to really explain to the corporate people how it works. But the one thing I always tell them is, look, you're talking about your brand out there.
That's it.
You should at least listen.
That's it. That hits square. That's what I mean. I have, you know, clearly clients that have aversion to all of this stuff. Let's just not talk about Twitter, because to your point, it's like, there's a whole bunch of different places, but like, they're like, no, I have one particular client. It's like, no, no, no. And in their particular field, which is a very narrow niche, there is a blogger that keeps them up at night. I mean, really, like, goes to town on them every day. This is a huge company. And I'm like, you know, you can either be in the game or you cannot be in the game, but you cannot lose sleep over this guy whose audience is really relatively small, but it's influential. And he says things about the time. His whole thing is snarky comments. That's his game. And I told him, like, his whole thing is to bash you. And so, like, do you want to hear it, or do you want to pretend it's not existing? I mean, like, I don't understand what you want to do. Like, you want to not sleep at night, or do you want to play the freaking game? So, like, I'm as an evangelist, I'm in there every day. Like, the conversations are happening. These are the tools. I'm not advocating that you necessarily Twitter. I'm not even saying that you create a Twitter profile. But at least understand the conversations are happening. This is how you listen to them. They can come to your phone. They can come here. You can walk around. And if you're that obsessed with what's going on, he's not the only one. And I also define, I have this new definition of sort of influence around, you know, you have bloggers that are huge. And then you have Twitterers that have tons of followers who with tiny URLs and can start an entire, you know, conversation meme. And so, like, you know, what is influence and how do you define influence? And so anyway, I think it's interesting. I'll take one more comment. I know we're going to move along about
Just a quick question, because probably getting short on time.
Yeah.
If there were like two things beyond Twitter that you would recommend a small business owner would use to drive PR for their organization, what would they be? Beyond, well,
my two would be. Okay, let me start with the notion of PR. I believe the opportunity is to engage their tribe, their community, their whatever, to talk amongst each other. So. I will say that I'm a huge fan of Ning. It doesn't work for everybody, but I'm a huge fan of Ning as a platform. I think it's a great opportunity for customers to talk to each other. So my notion of PR is giving the people the tools to talk to each other. So I guess I have to frame that question. If it's to get a story, you know.
Yeah, like how do you get journalists to find you? How do you get people coming to your
So second, I think Twitter and a blog, you know, that is consistent and that puts out messages. I think those would be, if I had two, those would be the two. But they work with each other, you know. I don't know, that's right. So I'd love to hear from somebody else.
Peggy Duncan, and I'm a shameless self-promoter.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I've written an ebook on shameless self-promotion, and what I talk about is how I landed major media, Today Show. Yesterday I was in the Washington Post, O Magazine, any major media you can think of, I've been there. And journalists call me because I focus on these things that make me show up in Google. Google is my PR agent. Because journalists, when they type in my expertise, I'm on the first page of Google organically. Mm-hmm. So they call me. And one that I would recommend outside of blogging is slideshare.net. Mm-hmm. If you have an article, say you have an article on your website and you're giving it away anyway, create a PowerPoint presentation, 1 point per slide. Mm-hmm. with a nice photo that tells the story and post it on slideshare.net. Mm-hmm. Because I train people in the real world. I'm a computer trainer, so I teach people how to manage email overload. Well, when the story came out about President Obama being addicted to his BlackBerry, I wrote an article about it, and then I did a PowerPoint presentation about it. And within a week, when you type in cure BlackBerry addiction, I'm on the first page of Google already.
That's great. Excellent. Love slide. Slideshare seems. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Up there.
And I'm going to be shameless and say that I'm interviewing Peggy on my internet radio show.
All right.
February 19th.
Nice. So what's your internet radio show? What's it called?
Talent Builders Radio. I'll throw it out on Twitter.
Okay. Please do. Please do. That's great.
I was wondering if you use
Harrow. Huh?
Harrow.
Oh, I love Harrow.
Oh, yeah.
He's not
an Harrow. Oh, yes. Of course. No Harrow. Well, yes. Yes. Harrow is great. Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. Experts on so many topics.
Yeah.
I'm never an expert, but one day I know there's
a Yapa reporter.
But it's really good if you're a small business owner.
Harrow. Harrow.
H-A-R-O.
It's
yapareporter.com.
Yapa
reporter.
Follow
on Twitter.
He's on Twitter.
I know somebody who got that.
Skydiving.
Yeah. Peter Shanklin, right?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm just going to add one that's not up on the page here for you. Is Meetup. Yeah. People familiar with Meetup?
Yes. Yeah. Meetup, definitely. Quantum.
Hey, I'm a former tech guy. I used to use a lot of little tools when they started out as betas.
Yeah.
But then I stopped because my constituents weren't really interested. Yeah. Now people are into it.
Yeah.
And I'm having a challenge porting over from, you know, I started a little meme thing. I started Facebook, Twitter. And every time I'm trying to get people to follow me in these different places, and it's hard to connect them up. What do you do about that? How do you get these lists out? When I want to invite everybody to an event on Facebook, it's 100 at a time, and I got to get them in a group. Mm-hmm. And we only have 7 days to tell them, and they're not on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just want to add one thing. For me, and I struggled with this for a while, because I have like 2,000 friends, I think, on Facebook. And like, for a while, I was really guarded. I was like, I'm not letting everybody in my Facebook world. But I came to this conclusion that, you know, a lot of my, you know, my media friends, a lot of my high school friends, a lot of my potential clients, old clients, current clients, they're all in this world. It's kind of a group thing. I use the privacy settings really well. And I find that the Facebook invite feature works really, really well. So when we do, for instance, with Hill Harper, I do this chat, you know, I'll send a Facebook invite out, which goes to a bunch, and then they send it out to their friends. And what happens is that Facebook calendar invite becomes a sub-tribe in and of itself. Then I go back and go, oh, wow, look at this. I sent it to 50 people, and it became 450 people. And so then I grab new people from there. And so, that's one. I think Facebook has done a great job with the email, with the invite.
Use Facebook Connect or Friend Connect to make that network you have portable to your platform.
Anybody using, I'm just curious, show of hands, anybody using Friend Feed? Okay, cool.
I just want y'all to know that you set it up in a way that it takes one, what I've got it set up for, is that everything that I tweet goes to Friend Feed,
sure.
And then it feeds to everything else.
Yeah. And now, I got called out yesterday on this by my wife, of all people. I started using Ping FM again. I've gone back and forth. If you're not familiar with Ping FM, Ping FM allows you to, you know, sort of port all of your information, your status updates to various places. But, like, my Facebook friends are not, they wouldn't know what an at sign is if it hit them in the face, right? So I started using Ping FM, and I'm starting to have a dialogue, and they're like, what are you talking about, right? I don't know if anybody faces that same sort of, like, language barrier. Like, your Facebook friends are kind of, you know, I mean, I don't know who your friends are, but, you know, I have friends that aren't necessarily techie, but they're like, they're on Facebook, right? And then I have friends on Twitter that clearly speak a language. So that's one of the barriers I kind of find when I was porting my information to other places.
I'm just trying to figure out if a company wants exposure on all these different platforms, if that's the right term, and I want to aggregate that information without necessarily paying some company to do it for me. Other than Flock, which I stumbled across,
love Flock.
Is there any place where you can aggregate
Friend Feed is that one, is the friendfeed.com, yes. And Friend Feed's done a great job. The one thing I wanted to take away, why I showed you that whole social media map, I guess the Loic Lemure thing, is what I do is I take Loic out of that and I put your company here. Because really, Loic is a brand, but your brands have that same opportunity to have those voices in those places. So I do want to go back to that, just it wasn't about Loic per se, but it was about your brand can do the same thing if you have a client. And we've done that. We have we've done it with Monster.com. We have, you know, we've set them up with a YouTube page, you know, and they shoot things from trade shows, and then we sort of have them on Twitter. What I find again is, you know, they're not committed to it. So it's like, if you're not committed to it, you know, it doesn't just work for a trade show. You gotta, you know, I mean, it can work for a trade show, but it needs to be somewhat of a commitment. If you're calling yourself, you know, Monster, you know, Twitter.
What kind of things do you do if you have a client that's not very popular, that wants to have that presence like a Monster or like Nike,
yeah,
and they think that their product or their service is that great, but
yeah,
there's not a community there to support it? You know, as a marketer, I still want to be able to fulfill that
yeah,
demand and not say no.
Let me give you two things. You can take this, Mr. Competitive Intelligence guy. So we talked about memes, right? Okay, you guys know the meme, blah, blah, blah. This is the BLCK meme. Meme tracking is important. We're going to do that, right? I think I have some nuggets in here. Being the media, I just want to talk about that really quickly in the interest of time. I'm a big power user of Blog Talk Radio, and I do a radio show that goes with a streaming video show. I use them both together at the same time. So I stream live video. I have calls coming in. So when I had Hill Harper the other night, you know, and even Dee Dee's been there. We've done that at my office before. We had MC Light one time on, and it was like, she called in on the phone. We streamed it live so you could actually watch us together. Me, Dee Dee, Brent was there, a few other people. And then, you know, you could take calls in through Blog Talk Radio. So I pimp them out for their awesome dashboard. But I actually love Blog Talk Radio as a standalone solution as well. And I actually do a lot of work with them directly. Ustream is my favorite of the web streaming. There are a few others out there. There's Kite TV. There's what's the other ones? I've stopped using them. Justin TV, which is the other one. And then Ustream is the one I use. I happen to know a lot about Ustream because we're doing a lot of business with them, and I just love what they're doing. They streamed all of Obama's stuff and McCain's stuff, and they have an iPhone app they just released. So I create content. I mean, I really, my positioning to my clients is that you can be content. You can be the media. You can have your own, you know, if you have a thought leader at a company that has a voice, that has a specific niche and he's a leader or thinks he's a leader or, you know, whatever, you know, you can give them a platform to really expound that voice. So you have a question, Frank?
No,
not
anymore.
Okay.
I was going to say, Mogulis is in there too.
Mogulis, yes. Yeah. And they're all, some of them are, you know, Mogulis has its, you know, I like Ustream, you might like Mogulis. Kite is cool, but I think that the main takeaway from this is, hey, you know what, your clients now, your brands can now become media channels. They can become voices. You know, it's interesting, the Jane Fonda thing we watched on Monday, we got New York Times on Tuesday, and then she said something about Madoff on Wednesday that hit everybody. And it was like, they picked up that one thing that she was going to rip his teeth out or something, you know, and then hit ran with it. But you have an opportunity to take your clients and allow them to have nuggets of information out there as thought leaders. So that's just on that. I'm going to keep going. Just, I know we have like 15 minutes. But here's, oh, the digital elite. I think this is interesting. I have this slide up here all the time. I think there's this whole notion, I'd love to hear from you, about this digital elite and how you use them. Guys like Scoble and New Media Jim and Wayne Sutton. He's such a, I love these guys a lot. And I actually, you know, when we're doing like shows, I guess you would, when I'm engaging in clients, like if Wayne Sutton mentions that I'm doing something with a client or someone, like I immediately gain 400 new followers on Twitter, and like he's a, I don't know, there's something interesting about these individuals, not just these, there's plenty more, I'm not highlighting just these three, but I'd love to hear from you as people who are reaching out to PR and thinking about traditional, how do you engage people who are, who are heavy or heavily followed or who have a big presence? Has anybody been working with them? I work with Chris Perillo on a bunch of stuff that we're doing, which has been really interesting to me. And he's set up to work with some of my brands, which is interesting. But any examples?
I was going to say, I'll devil's advocate this one.
Please do.
Just because, I mean, this is your field that you're in, so you're doing good by, I guess, gathering more people that are looking to get involved in this area. But for, I would say, business to business and only companies everyday use, they might not want to piggyback on that kind of stuff just because I think they're going to pick up a bunch of people that they're not necessarily in their target market.
Good point.
And I think for the mainstream user and the smaller company user, it's going to be more important to kind of laser focus on who your constituency is and really target those communities themselves. These guys are great if you're going for the mass products. If you're a Target, if you're something like Pepsi, you know,
by all means. But if you're in a more niche area, I think you want to stick to those.
Let me challenge that a little bit. I just want to say one thing about this. Yeah, these are like the mainstream digital elite. In the career recruiting field, which for Monster, there's like some digital elite guys. So I think, to your point, yeah, these might not be the right guys. But if you're in the area of like certain niches, I would argue that there's an influencer in every one. So maybe this title should be not digital elite, but influencers. And know that in all of your fields, in every field that your clients in or you're in, there's somebody who's like out there driving the conversations, who's using all the tools, you know, who has a blog, talk, radio show, I guarantee. You know, find them, figure out how you can empower them. Any other comments?
I was just going to say, with Impact Experience, sort of getting our clients exposed to bloggers, and one of the key things, if you're new in this sort of space, if you're a PR person, don't just randomly email the blogger without being familiar with that community and that blog. I mean, follow it for a while, make sure it can potentially be a good fit, because there's nothing that makes a blogger more upset than getting random product pushes via email. So make sure you know that it's a good space and follow it and make sure it's a good
Dee Dee, you're shaking your head heavily. Is that
your
blogger?
I believe that is totally correct. I get this from PR people every day, and as a past PR professional, you have to know your audience and if they really want that information. So if there's something new that's out, you know, really make sure that person may be a potential customer. Mm-hmm. You know, don't send me anything about tools and I don't know how to use them. Something like that. You have to really make sure that is your audience and really tie them in. So if you're on Twitter, look for women. If you're talking about beauty products, I know your wife last year. But you have to find, you know, women are really obsessed with makeup. And like James said, there are bloggers and YouTubers and people on Twitter that are obsessed with this. And you just find those key people and work with them. But be authentic, be transparent, to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm, you know, come from a more friendly approach. And I think that they will
Mr. Larry?
Yeah, I'm more on the B2B side too, and a company like Oracle is doing some really interesting things. They identified like 5 or 6 bloggers that are influential in things like CRM, that's what I do. And so what they've done is set up almost like an analyst relations for this small segment of influential bloggers. So they'll call us up, have us on the phone with just 5 people, on with their senior vice president of CRM, to talk about what they're doing, show us what they've got, to have answering the questions that we have. And I think that's probably a better way to go about it when you're trying to build a relationship with those influential people. Study what they've written, what they've said, and then start adding to the conversation, and then you have relationships.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple things I wanted to show you. Okay, cool. So you can take this one. It's for free. So Trade Show 2.0 on 15th and Peachtree. You know, I try to come up with things all the time. Again, I want to challenge PR, marketing, communication, earned, paid, this whole thing that we live in. And so something I came up with recently at Macworld for Newell Rubbermaid, we actually built a site. So all these conversations are happening, you know, there's all these hash mark conversations. So I was like, wow, you know, Newell Rubbermaid's whole thing is organizing. Like, why don't we organize all the Macworld conversations? So I organized all the conversations, so they're all here. So I pulled in the Twitter feeds, and then I pulled in all the blog conversations here, and then I streamed live from San Francisco, from Macworld. So I had, you know, live at the booth, live demonstrations going on, and so forth. Chris Perillo came by. Hey, Chris, and I'm like the MC. Hey, Chris, what's going on? Oh, what have you seen in Macworld? Ah, cool. All those same places. I'm shooting video with my Flip Minnow, right? I'm out there shooting, uploading, and it's all living here. And it's all brought to you by DymoMacworld.com. And so this is a trade show. You know, think about it. Trade show is the most boring thing ever, right? How do you freaking get noise at a trade show? How do you raise the level of conversation about your client's product at a trade show? So I came up with this, built it really quickly, like 2 weeks or something, and over the Christmas break. And we launched it at Macworld. And it wasn't as successful. I'm a perfectionist. I mean, it wasn't as successful as I wanted it to be. They love it. We're doing this for a bunch of other new Rubbermaid clients that we work with. And it's really about, you know, my goal is to really, you know, make noise at trade shows. So for those of you that have clients who are like, what do we do? Where do we start? Where do we begin? This is a wonderful 101, simple beginning place. Really cheap for me to build. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's easy. I'm pulling in feeds. For those of you techie people, you know what it is. I'm pulling in feeds. I'm pulling in conversations. And it was fun. It was really cool. And we were able to, you know, so then I'm not engaging with my journalists and my press. We're sending them here. You go here. You want to learn about my products? They're right here. You want to learn more about what's going on? You go here. And then I'm stealing content. I'm going, hey. As soon as we had journalists that were coming to the booth, I was talking to them live here. And it was a fun, fun thing. Again, I'm from the entertainment business, so I'm always looking for content. I'm always looking for, you know, how do I make Newell Rubbermaid a content machine? And so this is one example. Cool? Any questions? Okay, something else that we've done is MMRs. They've been called SMPRs, social media press releases. We call them MMRs. We're doing them now. We don't, you know, we're trying to do away with press releases. We're trying to kill them as fast as we can. So what we're doing now are MMRs. And when we send it out, it's all in one sort of nice, concise place. All your information, all your tags are here. You can follow. Now, this is with the assumption that your client has, you know, Delicious or, you know, YouTube. But, you know, this actually ends up opening the door for those conversations. Because what happens is they go, well, why would I, you know, they go, we shot all this video, we did all these commercials, we have all this cool information on, there's one client, I can't name who it is, but, you know, pretty traditional business client, B2B. And like, we've done all these videos, we've done all these things. What do we do with that? How do we package that all up? So we do an MMR, which you'll read about as an SMPR. We do these in a couple different ways. One, it can live as an HTML, like web thing, or we send them out. New offering, these things go along with trade show. So when we did the trade show, we actually notified the media via an MMR. And then post trade show, we were able to package up all the video and then send it out through the MMR.
With an MMR, this is kind of traditional word-based thing.
Yeah.
Now with searches, what would be the future of searches for something like this? Because that's one of the values of SEO.
Yeah.
On pictures. So how does that happen? Where does that evolve?
Work with this is the beginning stages of this MMR, so I might have all the answers for you. But the opportunity, if it lives as an HTML standalone, is that, you know, we can tag this correctly, and, you know, there's opportunities there as a standalone, as a PDF. I mean, obviously, we kind of miss out on this opportunity. I have mixed feelings about both. I mean, oftentimes if I present this as an HTML, they're like, well, you're just building me another newsroom. You're building me another website. Why do I want that? So this is a challenging product for me, but the functionality of what it does, there's no doubt all my clients are like, we want them. We're selling these like hotcakes. They love them. It's great. But the functionality of what they do and the opportunity, those things are things that clients never ask me. So that's great. The clients I'm working with today.
That's cool. Just talking about what's the future.
Absolutely. Please.
I mean, a couple of things related to this. First of all, for the most part, we don't really typically do SMPR, social media press releases. So you can achieve the same result if you've got an effective blog. All you're doing is organizing all this content. The majority of the clients we deal with, we're recently doing away with our newsrooms. Mm-hmm. Or traditional wire stuff. Because if I hear the news and I go to do a search, if I land at the newsroom or at least on the wires, it's a dead end
for the
brand. But if I can bring them back to my blog, then there's at least some conversation going on.
Totally.
The other thing is with Google's universal search. You know, mm-hmm. If you've got content that's being syndicated via RSS, Google's indexing that in real time now.
Yeah.
So we've got content, and as soon as we publish it, it's literally being indexed within 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So brands now, like if we've got a brand that's doing something on Good Morning America, they're announcing a product, we're gonna launch the blog content, the YouTube content, all that stuff 5 minutes before that person goes on the air.
Uh-huh.
So that as soon as you see it on TV, you're like, well, that's pretty cool. What are you going to do? You're going to go to Google, and you're going to search. And because we're using the tools that are syndicating content,
mm-hmm.
by the time somebody does a search 5 minutes later after seeing it on TV, it's the first result that's coming up on Google.
Yep.
It's content that we're pushing out.
That's what you said. Google is a big,
Is my
feed
on there?
Yeah. Dan, sorry. Hey, Sam.
I'm with you. I'm probably on message with you, but my problem is I got clients who may are beginning to understand this, but they still have most of their body in the old world.
I understand. I live
and
with
so,
you. Trust me.
You know, I try to. If I would go to my CFO and say, let's do a social media walk out the door.
Well, that's why it's called MMR.
It's just a question of, and I said, I don't want to sound like an old funny.
No, character, please do.
But please don't.
Excuse me, we're just letting you know about 5 minutes until we break and switch sessions.
Okay.
Thanks.
But it's just the point I want to make. It's how do you balance?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remind what I remind you that you balance the two. Convincing is part of it. Do you do two of them? Maybe an old fashioned one and a new one. Are you doubling up the resources? I mean, what Josh is saying is right on. I think it's great. There's going to be some people who get it.
Yeah.
But so many clients don't.
To be honest, he says doing away with newsrooms. Actually, our entry point a lot of times is a product we've created called Newsroom something. I can't remember what it's called. But we actually start with newsrooms because many times it's just like PDFs are there. It's like the attic of a website. And so we actually start with that. We start with, well, hey, let's take your newsroom. If you look at FedEx's newsroom, we've won a bunch of awards, done a bunch of great things with FedEx's newsroom. And we start there and we go, hey, let's allow you to have, you know, RSS feeds that actually work. And let's actually, you know, let's you know, so that's like my entry point. Because I have many of the same clients you have, trust me, that are like real traditional, you know, they're going to look at some of these things. I mean, trade show, they kind of get, they'll fart around it. But like, usually I start with newsroom. And we go with, you have video, we're going to show you how to put that video on there. Now, if you look at FedEx's newsroom, we have Google Maps mashup. You know, we're posting stories in many different languages. I mean, but for us, the newsroom, and I wish I had more clients who were like, you know, let's move beyond the newsroom. But for us, that's kind of where we have to start.
I was going to say, what this kind of reminds me of is I'm more on the media side of things. So this reminds me of like a landing page. So if you had a specialized landing page.
Yeah, that's it.
And right now, those are somewhat falling out of favor just because basically everything should be integrated into the website in dynamics anyway. If anything is static, like you said, that was a dead end for like a PDF or the newsroom that you guys are discussing.
Yeah.
And so this has the potential to be that I guess it's just taking it a little bit further and charging people more for it. I think it's better to look at, and then it offers more social potential, but at the same time, in 2 years from now, is there anything on this page that would be
I agree. Trust me. This thing I have challenges with, full disclosure, like, I'm, you know, we're working with it, and it's our entry point for clients. It's, you know, it's like your starter kit. Oh, sorry, my blogger briefing. Go back. Okay.
I guess the thing.
Like
from a culture standpoint, I love
right.
Talking about being the content creator, a lot of times I think that the marketers, or you know, you may have some ambitious folks that are not in your group and you didn't have control of that initiated something, you know. So there is a presence that exists in social that now you're responsible for because it's a problem. So my comment is to think about it from a risk standpoint. When you do hear about so-and-so's launching that, get engaged and to be a voice of caution and preparedness if something funky goes on that no one planned to happen.
And one last thing I'll show you just real quick. I do things called blogger briefings. I use Ustream. I bring bloggers into a place. I invite them. I give the message points there. It's all online. Weight Watchers, I just did something with last year where it's like Weight Watchers is launching a new product. I want to reach all the bloggers. I use Ustream. I bring them there. We have the message points. Boom. Did Geek Squad recently. This is a great product for us. It's great, easy for you guys as PR practitioners to do. It's just, it's really just using Ustream to kind of invite people to one place. Very simple, very easy. Again, but this takes playing with the toys. I know how to use Ustream. I'm at a level where I understand, and I do open blogger briefings, so I know if I invite the right 10 bloggers, they're going to Twitter and bring their other friends in, and so that 10 is going to be 50. So with this one, we did one with Weight Watchers. And like we did it on a Monday, by Friday we had 65 stories, 70 stories on different blogs, because I knew the right 10 to invite, I knew the right influencers in that space.
Are you paying them?
No, not at all. Don't pay them, no. We just said, you know, we know, see, we track, we do research up front, So we know which bloggers are interested in talking about weight loss and weight journey and all these sort of things. Then we invite them to talk to, in this case, it was a blogger who actually is a big blogger in this whole space of weight journey and weight loss. And then she talks, she's been a blogger, she's talking about a bunch of different things. And then she's talking to them, and then they all, we give them free memberships to Weight Watchers for 3 months. Actually, we did give them something. And then they went and talked about it, and they chronicled their own journey. And so this was a great way. I do these a lot. Again, but because I play with the toys, I do use Ustream a lot in my own personal. I know the back end. I know how to do things. So I wouldn't just propose this without kind of understanding how it works. And this, I'll put it on SlideShare. What the heck, you know?
The song you heard in this podcast was Garden by Cargo Cult, available only on Magnatune.com. Thanks for listening to Unconcast on the Georgia Podcast Network. If you have recorded or are planning to record a discussion that you think would make a good episode of Unconcast, email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com to learn how you can submit it.